Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great. The weather here is a lot cooler than it was yesterday. Humidity's down. Had some good friends come over for lunch. It was a blast. So, yeah, been a good day so far. But I want to talk a little bit about it. I said something yesterday, and I want to kind of go into detail with a little bit today to start with. And I was talking about how Trump has basically signed the USMCA with Mexico, which is the UN Agenda 2030 in disguise, and has gotten rid of NAFTA. And now all of the Trump supporters are going, yay, 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 you know, whoop-la, but they don't understand what he just signed. It's not good. The point of the new agreement is to change the governing structure of the United States from a constitutional republic with representatives who legislate on behalf of the citizens to rule by unelected bureaucrats sitting on international boards and commissions centralizing into a one-world government. That's what he just signed. The new international committees will supersede Congress and make decisions for the United States. Accountants, engineers, lawyers, doctors, architects, researchers, and every other business professional will be allowed to flood into the United States to take jobs in the United States, which already have employment problems, and the Americans are, and all the millions of Americans are already homeless. I mean, this is the goal of the United Nations Sustainable Development Program, is the loss of sovereignty and private property, which includes cover over your body and mind, control over your body and mind. Now, that's what we just got signed. I mean, Gary's critics claim that NAFTA is worse and the USMCA agreement is less harmful replacement because the president is not able to get rid of NAFTA. It must be done by Congress. Critics point to Trump's removing the U.S. from the Paris Accord and the TPP and UN Migration Compact and other UN treaties and believe that Trump is still against the New World Order. I don't believe that at all anymore. And, I mean, I got another letter from one of the diehard, you know, Q people today, and like I'm not going to waste your time with that. But guys, it's really important that we understand what this is and what the point of this is. This is what Austin has talked about so many times with the 2030 agenda, putting us under the United Nations rule. Now remember, when you're under the United Nations rule, you're under Rothschild rule. When you're under Rothschild rule, they're controlling the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, which control the stuff that's going on with the UN. All of this stuff is to put us under the boot, continued boot, and the tyranny of the international banking cartel that runs the world. And quite frankly, shame on President Trump for doing this. We've been better off not to have this at all with him. Mexico is looking at this as a treaty with them, like a military treaty, and they're basically looking at it basically differently than we are. And so it's something that we need to understand, that, you know, Mexico is expected to be the first of the three nations to ratify this agreement because Mexico regards this as a treaty, which they call TMEC. Okay? It's basically a treaty between the United States, Mexico, and Canada, but it will need to be ratified by the Senate of the Republic, the upper chamber of Mexican Congress. The intention is for the Mexican Senate to ratify the treaty quickly so they can focus on domestic legislation and policy under incoming President Andres Lopez Obrador, who, remember, is a hardcore communist. He's going to be inaugurated on, coming up right now. So in his pre-signing remarks delivered in Spanish, President Nieto said, the negotiations of the Treaty of Mexico and the United States and Canada permitted to reaffirm the importance of economic integration of North America. Guys, this is 2030 on steroids. This is a giant, giant, giant mess. This is not making America first. This is Rothschild stench through and through. What do you think, Austin?
It's globalism at its finest. This is exactly what the New World Order is completely bent on doing. And this is what their goal has been, as I've said so many times, is handing over the U.S. sovereignty's control, the U.S. sovereignty's, our freedom, our nationalism, and handing it over to the U.N., basically unelected officials that do not do the bidding for us. I mean, you know, the problem is, you know, we already have an issue. with a corrupt Congress, a corrupt Senate, corrupt government, large portion of them, you know, but in some cases, there's still a lot of them that I truly believe are staunch American constitutionalists that are really trying to represent the people that they, you know, their constituents. And so I believe that. The issue is, once you allow the UN to start dictating things, once you start allowing an outside organization and outside personnel to start coming in, they have zero accountability, nor are they elected, nor do they care about the people they represent. The only thing they will do is what the globalists above them, the higher-ups, tell them to do. And sadly enough, it seems as if this is exactly what their plans are. Also, I want to remind you guys, the Talk to Ted in Austin Tuesday is still going on. In about 15, 20 minutes, we will have the call-in live line for you guys. Just to remind you of it, the number is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. The Talk to Ted in Austin on Tuesday. Just want to remind you guys of that. Also, too, though, switching gears a little bit different. You know, we had talked recently, a couple weeks ago, about all the issues that were going on with the lawsuit that occurred in California towards Monsanto and glyphosate, which is the guy, the individual still won. The judge still ruled in favor, cut his payout significantly down, but overall it was still a win and really opened up the case for a significant amount. Now they're saying around 9,000 lawsuits are bound to basically start occurring towards Roundup, glyphosate, Monsanto, Bayer, so forth, since Bayer owns a giant predicament. They've got themselves in a massive pickle. The Bayer, the German company that bought Monsanto earlier this year, has just announced the sale of a number of businesses that they've acquired over the last couple of years, and they will also be cutting around 12,000 job cuts and about 3.3 billion euros in impairments. The chief executive, Warren Brahman, is under pressure to boost Bayer's share price after it has dropped more than 35% this year, majority of that being over the summer. They've been dragged down by concern of more than 9,000 lawsuits they are now facing over the cancer causing effects of Monsanto Roundup weed killer. Sustainable Pulse director Henry Rollins commented on the shocking news. He said, "This just shows you what happens when a company makes a huge investment into a very, very, very bad company. Bayer will struggle to recover from the Monsanto fiasco, and investors in the company are obviously very concerned. The only way out of this mess is for Bayer to stop selling glyphosate-based herbicides." The group said it's looking at options, including the sale of the Coppertone sunscreen and Dr. Scholl's foot care products, which they both acquired from Merck & Co. in 2014 for $14 billion. They go on to say they also a large maker of flea and tick control products that they acquired, Animal Health Division. Looks like they're going to sell that for almost $2 billion. And Bayer will also seek a buyer for its 60% stake in the current chemical production site services provider, Currentina. So this is fairly good news. I wasn't sure how shielded Bayer was going to be when they bought Monsanto, but from the looks of what they're doing, the massive amount of stock prices they're hemorrhaging, and now the massive sale off from a lot of these companies they've acquired over this decade, it seems to be that Monsanto or that Bayer is very, very spooked about this, and they're doing everything they can to basically try to shield themselves, to basically get some more capital going, and as the one individual said, pretty much the only option they really have right now is to cut glyphosate off the market, because if they continue to sell this product and these lawsuits continue to land, it's just going to be one after another now that the precedent has been set out in California. If they stop selling glyphosate and they yoke it off the market, it's going to cost them a significant amount of money to basically shelf that product to get rid of it. However, when the lawsuits do start to occur, they will say, listen, we've listened, we've seen the lawsuits, we're no longer selling this product anymore, we've acquired Monsanto recently, we are no longer going to basically sell glyphosate herbicide Roundup, and that probably will shut down a massive amount of the lawsuits as far as shield them. But as far as what I'm seeing, Dad, they've definitely got themselves in a pickle, which is a good thing.
Well, they have basically, I would say something, but it's not really, it's kind of off color, but let me put it to you this way. They have absolutely hosed themselves. And yeah. The problem with this is, Austin, that this product causes cancer. Their own research proved it's caused cancer. The research has been submitted now because of the Freedom of Information Act. Monsanto covered it up. The only reason Monsanto was worth the billions and the billions and the billions that Bayer paid for Monsanto was because of glyphosate, because of Roundup.
Yep.
Basically, it was worth 10% of the value of what it was really worth without that particular product. Bayer has got a bunch of blithering idiots running that company, which I'm sure they're the globalist Rothschilds who are intentionally trying to destroy it. And so what the whole thing is going to happen is it doesn't matter if they stop selling glyphosate. They have 9,000 lawsuits they're responsible for. Plus, remember, there are still millions and millions and millions and millions of liters of glyphosate being sprayed as we speak, which are going to continue to cause lawsuits into the future. So even if the product got discontinued, these lawsuits that are accumulating right now, why Bayer owns, it's not going to end. It's probably going to bankrupt Bayer. Bayer's probably going to be done. And as far as I'm concerned, good riddance if they're that stupid to buy this. Or they'll be broken off, and they'll break off this, and they'll break off liability, or they'll sell assets. I mean, you know, one of these corporate raiders are going to come in and turn and burn them, and this is what they always do. And so I'm sure it was time, like General Electric, it was time to turn and burn GE. So that's what these guys do. All of this stuff was planned in advance. They knew full and well there were 5,000 lawsuits on the books when they took it over. They didn't care. They figured their attorneys were smarter than the other people's attorneys. What they didn't expect was a $280 million lawsuit with another settlement of $78 million. Remember, none of that's been paid. That's all going to go back anyhow. It's just going to go on and on and on and on and on. Because once they accept the lawsuit, once they start and they capitulate and they pay somebody the tens of millions of dollars or billions of dollars or whatever for the lawsuit, that opens the precedent, you know, as far as being used in court. Well, you've already paid this lawsuit to these people. You're no longer fighting this lawsuit. So, yeah, it's a major mess. By the way, political turmoil is now gripping Sweden. I've got a picture here of downtown Stockholm, and there is not one, there's not one white person there. That sounds odd, doesn't it? That sounds about as politically incorrect as I can get. You think, well, why do you care about that? Well, I really don't care about that. These guys are idiots. But the reality is the political turmoil is gripping Sweden. Since September the 9th, the 2018 elections, of which the Swedish Democrats, the nationalists, basically the ones who want these immigrants out, this is an anti-immigrant party, took 17% of the vote, gaining 62 cents in the seats in the 349-seat Swedish parliament, or their Riksdag, they call it, which is like their Congress. No new government has been formed. Nevertheless, the Swedish Democrats have become the kingmakers. The leftist Social Democrats, although the largest vote getter with 100 seats, do not have enough partners to form a coalition government, kind of like in Germany, different than how we have here. So finally, Sweden is saying it's enough. During this last year or so, they've taken in almost like 163,000 more migrants, the young men who basically are of soldier age, and they are pretty much all on welfare, and it is destroying it. The Shabbat synagogue in Stockholm, close to the center of town, had no sign posted for fear of violence, wanted to call for directors and had to make special arrangements to have somebody from an insider open the door. Now, I'm going to stop here for 1 second. The reason the Shabbat synagogue is all over the world is, number one, this is a doomsday cult, quite frankly, and secondly is that they're really involved with the Mossad and the CIA. And so this is what's going on. Now they're scared to even open the doors because the Muslims are there. Now, you ask yourself a question. Why in the world did the Rothschilds, who run it all, destroy this the way they've done? And what was the whole point of doing any of this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's the thing. Everything that they're trying to do is to destroy our, basically, way of life. Because they have to destroy the Western culture. They have to destroy the Western culture. Because if they don't destroy the Western culture, they can't replace it. In other words, the Western culture has been around for thousands of years. And there's no way they're going to come in and say, we're going to destroy this now and not give you guys a replacement. They have to come in with the replacement. And that's what they're trying to do right now. In fact, there's a really, really good article that was listed on Steve Quayle's website today, and it was basically, it's called the burningflatplatform.com, and it says a modern day Paul Revere is not warning of the Noah's flood at a wedding. Okay, and this article goes on talking about how in those days of Noah, how they were eating and drinking, and also when the flood hit, and something just suddenly swept over them, and all of these people who were laughing about what was about to happen were wiped out. They were wiped out. Now, you can read the article yourself. I'm not going to read you the whole article. It's very, very long, and I'm not going to read it to you. But what I will do is read you the last couple sentences of it, because it's the last few sentences that really got my attention on what he said. Here's what it said. Although nationalism is trending around the globe. Currently, it could all be part of a plan. What a perfect way to expedite the Great Reset by compartmentalizing the nations into their respective regions. Nationalism triggered by illegal immigration, here we go, followed by economic collapse via war, trade, and actual. Then after the collapse, there will only be chaos, calls for globalism, and ultimately a new world order, as simple as 1, 2, 3. Then he goes on to say, listen to me, guys. I'm saying this to you right now. Here's his quote. The Marxists are coming. The Marxists are coming. Can you hear me? Question mark. Hello? Question mark. Anyone there? Question mark. Anyone? Question mark. Guys, this is the Russian Revolution brought to you by the left-wing extremists, the communists, who destroyed Russia, who basically killed 50 million Russians, responsible for all of the mess that happened with Germany, World War II, on the Russian front. These are the guys that invaded the parliament in England and allowed them to side with the communist government. They're the ones that invaded our Congress, and the socialists came in and allowed our congressman, Roosevelt, and the president to side with Russia and to develop a treaty with Russia and give half of Europe to Russia, the Soviet Union, after World War II. These are those same guys. Now they're playing for blood, they're playing for the planet, they're playing for the globe, they're playing for the entire world. As we speak, the book of Revelation is being written in front of us. Now these guys want to do, they want to rebuild this temple, they want to bring their boy into the Holy of Holies, they want to have him cut himself with the spear of destiny, they want to make him king of the planet and bring in Lucifer's reign. That's who is doing this. That's simple. Because what you don't understand is before Christ comes, Lucifer's coming. The Christians don't get this. They're trying to bring in, the Zionists are trying to bring in the end of the world so they think they can get raptured out. Guys, here's the deal. Listen to me. If you believe that, what if you're believing this and you're trying to rebuild this temple and you want to bring in Satan's rule on the planet so you get pulled out of the first load? What the heck if you're wrong and you've got to go through the tribulation? What if it's a mid-trib? What if it's a post-trib? What if all of you that are doing this and pushing this agenda end up dying? The Bible says very clearly, if these end times are not cut short, that even the elect, the Christians, the people who are following Yeshua and Yahweh, would not make it through. Guys, it's that bad. And for us to facilitate this and to encourage this, guys, hello? The Marxists are coming. The Marxists are coming. Can you hear me? Hello? Anyone there? Anyone? Guys, this isn't a joke anymore. These guys are real. They're playing for blood. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, they are. There's no question about it. I mean, and look what's going on over in Paris and France right now. I mean,
oh my gosh,
we got this idiot Macron, who's, I mean, just, I mean, 100% globalist. And I mean, he's putting all this thing under this green agenda, and all of a sudden he comes out and says, because, you know, to prevent global warming, it's for your safety and for your protection, we're gonna put a 25 cents per gallon fuel tax on top of your fuel starting in January, because, you know, we gotta help protect you guys. If you guys ever been to Europe, fuel in Europe is insanely expensive. I mean, insanely expensive. When you go past the thing, they're usually 3 to 4 euros per liter. That usually equates anywhere, depending on where you're at in Europe, from $8 to $14 a gallon.
It's insanely
expensive, and one of the huge reasons why is because they literally have tax on tax on tax on tax on tax stacked on top of one another over and over and over and over again. If you look at the breakdown on it, I mean, it's insane how many taxes they add into fuel. So then he goes in and says, hey, everybody in France, if your fuel went already high enough, we already got 10 different taxes on your fuel in France, we're going to add another 25 cents a gallon tax. And the thing about it is, it's not even a halfway legitimate tax. It's literally a green agenda tax. That's what pretty much they're calling it. And so it doesn't even do anything except steal more money from the population so they can collectively take everybody's money as much as possible and put it back into their coffers so they can urinate it away on all the migrants and illegals and build their entire economy essentially on a welfare state, which, I mean, you have to understand that from the rules of radicals and everything, that is the communist agenda. The main aspect is building a welfare state. When you get enough people on the rolls that are taking all the money from the government for free and not working, they're incredibly easy to control. Once you control the health care, once you control the food, once you control the taxes, once you control the housing, once you control the vehicles, once you control the money that's being supplied, once you control the jobs, once you control every aspect of it, you can literally make or break the entire economy and force as many people as you want into poverty. All you got to do is start running the tax bracket up. Oh, okay, we need to go ahead and bring down our middle class a little bit lower. Anybody that makes $100,000 a year, guess what? You're going to get taxed 75% now. Wait, what? You can't do that. No, it's fine. We need to make it fair for everybody. So somebody that's making $10 an hour and is working 40 hours a week, making in the $20,000 range, and they're only paying 10% taxes, we need to make everybody on the same playing field. So if you're making $100,000 a year, we're going to tax you 70 to 80%. So you're going to make the same amount of money as somebody else that makes $10 an hour, because that's the fair thing to do. The problem is nobody ever talks about where all this money goes. Dad and I were talking yesterday about Social Security and what a scam it is. Because we literally have tens of billions of dollars going into the Social Security system. It's all IOUs. There's no money there at all. I'm not going to see any of the money. I'll honestly be surprised if Dad sees any of the money. It's just, it's going into thin air so they can go blow it on other things that they want to blow it on. It's the same thing they first started doing it. They started using it as a slush fund account. This is great. We got tens of billions of dollars in here, and we don't have to do anything with it right now. People don't need it for like 50 years, so we'll just put IOUs in it, and we'll just pay for things that we want to pay for out of it, and then eventually we'll replenish it. Well, as you guys know, with the government, they don't replenish anything. They don't build anything. They don't make anything. They don't manufacture anything. They take money from people that are building things, working for things, manufacturing things. They tax them insane amounts of money. Then they take that money, and they disperse it throughout the government for people to do what they want with it. That's the issue that I have with big government to the point that it's at now. I understand the aspect of taxes. I like driving on nice roads. I really do. I absolutely loathe hitting potholes every 100 feet in a road. I hate it. I love driving on nice roads. I don't mind paying for nice roadways. I like driving on nice bridges. I don't prefer to drive on bridges that fall apart when I drive across them. It's just not something I generally like to do. I like to drive freely and safely across bridges. There's certain things that take certain amount of money to keep going in infrastructure. I got that. But when you have an out-of-control spending government that literally, it's funny, I had dinner the other night with two of my buddies that were in the Army. One of them is still active duty. He actually ended up going enlisted, and he went through OCS now, and he's Officer Candidate School. Now he's about to go back in. He's going full active duty. He's planning on deploying next year. And I asked him, I said, what in the world are you guys doing with all this money? I said, because every time I turn around, I hear about the military's broke. The military can't afford this. The military can't afford that. And he goes, oh, because the military's got way too much money. He goes, they have insane amounts of money. He goes, the problem is they allot it so poorly. He goes, they get all this money, and they don't want to lose their funding the next year. They want more funding, so they find ways to urinate the money away so they can maintain that money for the next year and get more. And he goes, so then when it comes around, it's like, oh, well, we don't need to do this. We don't need to provide better clothing for any of our military. We don't need to pay them any more money. We need, hey, guess what, guys? We got a great idea. Let's start a $1.5 trillion plane system that doesn't even go operational called the F-22 Raptor. That's a great idea. We'll start dumping hundreds of billions of dollars into this plane system. We don't know if it's going to work. Probably won't. Who really cares? It doesn't matter. But as long as we keep throwing money into it, we'll keep getting a higher budget next year because we'll keep saying we're running into issues with the plane and we need more money to keep it going until a point where it's no longer viable and it's such a money drain. We scrap the entire $1.5 trillion plane system and say, hey, we're going to start the F-35 fighter jet now. That's the next one we're going to do. That's the big one we're going to do. And that's what he told me. He said, it's insane the amount of blissful, wasteful spending that's in the U.S. military that could be spent on truly useful things, and in most cases, they literally don't care. It's just so they can continue to keep their budgets growing every year, regardless of how wasteful it is, regardless if it helps the troops out in one single way or form. I mean, guys, These guys don't make hardly any money. I mean, you go with an active duty officer that's been enlisted for 10 years, and now you're basically an officer in there. You're making like $50,000-$60,000 a year, a little bit more when you're actually deployed. I mean, that's decent money. But I mean, when you're talking about careering in the military and you're being in an active combat theater zone on a regular basis, and I mean, you're making like $80,000 a year to literally get blown up and shot at on a regular basis, that's not a whole lot of money. And so that's the aspect that I have with all of this in the government spending. And so tying back into that, we see what's happened in France now, where a lot of these individuals have said, we've had enough. We're done. We're done paying your insane taxes on your fuel. I mean, the same thing's coming to California right now. Out in California, I mean, they're pushing $5 a gallon for diesel right now. It's not that diesel fuel's anywhere near $5 a gallon. Even average price in the United States is anywhere near that. It's because California has had to add more taxes on more taxes, and fuel and transport is one of the easiest ways to slide those taxes in, because people, it's a necessity. People have to have fuel to drive their vehicles, to go to work, to travel, to do go on vacation, anything. And they know people are going to pay their taxes, hence why we're seeing this massive revolt. But from what I saw today, a little bit ago, later on this afternoon, it looks like Macron, who's essentially slowing down, he said that he is apparently they're going to scrap the Green Agenda tax, from what I heard today. He just came out and said that. Whether or not that's going to happen or not, I don't know. But apparently he's trying to say this to calm everybody down so they stop getting in these huge protests and fighting with everybody. So we'll just have to play it by ear and see if he actually stays true to it, or if this was just a big beta scheme to see how far, beta test, to see how far they could get away with how many taxes before people actually revolted. That, I don't know.
You know, Austin, France actually has like almost 100% tax bracket at the higher levels. 100%. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, like every penny you make over a million or whatever, it's just 100%. You give all of it away. And that's why so much of the brain drain has happened in France. I mean, France is an interesting country. I mean, we, years ago, we were over there and we were at an airport. We had to fly out of, the Charles de Gaulle airport in Paris, and there's multiple terminals there. And we had a really bad time at the airport, at the hotel, in Paris. It wasn't a Starwood or Marriott property. It was another one that we had, and it was awful. And we ended up leaving that morning, and I complained to the front desk. Well, the front desk sent a guy out to the cab with me, who basically took us to the airport, and he had a long conversation in French with this cab driver, and the cab driver intentionally took us to the wrong terminal at the airport that was closed with no shuttle service, so we would miss our flight. It actually happened. I mean, these people in Paris, between me and you guys, excuse the vernacular, they suck. And I cannot believe how bad they are. And they're horrible people. And they're just mean. And so I'm not surprised that they're fighting like this. And quite frankly, they should have fought more and more and more. In fact, he dropped us off on the curb in an empty terminal, told us where a plane was leaving, totally lied to us. No cabs there. And the other terminal was like 3 miles away by foot with this luggage. Finally, a bus drives by and it's empty. The guy's going home for the night. It's like a transport bus. And he stops. He goes, "What are you guys doing? This terminal's closed." He goes, "So they dropped us off." He goes, "They did that on purpose." He said, "They're just trying to make you miss your flight. Hop in." So I gave him like $20. He took me to the right airport, to the right terminal. But these people in Paris, and there's a bunch of them. I mean, even the French people can't stand the Parisians. But I'll give the Parisians credit. They've made Macron blink. Now remember, Macron is the guy who was put in by the Rothschild banking cartel, who said he wanted to rule Paris and rule France as if he were a Greek god. And he is that kind of nutbag. That's the kind of nut he is. Back on the local scene here in the United States, ministers are now claiming that sex before marriage and hookups and one night stands are not sinful. They say that chastity is outdated and it's a silly expectation. Now, these false ministers, one includes, by the way, one of them's a homosexual, and the other two identify themselves as polyamorous, told the Huffington Post that they believe that sex before marriage is not sinful, and that it's rather reasonable, outdated, and silly to expect people to stay chaste until marriage. One said he doesn't judge those who choose to engage in random one-night stands, and he even says he does it himself. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. The Outlet interviewed another guy named Brandon Robertson, who is an open homosexual who leads the Mission Gathering Christian Church of San Diego, basically an associate pastor of North Carolina. I mean, these people are like, well, here's the problem I've got with any of this stuff. They claim to be Christians, Austin. They claim to be followers of Jesus Christ or whatever. Or they just claim to have a church. and they start preaching this stuff, and there are enough people out there, like it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that they're going to follow what their itching ears want to hear, because they have to have somebody to justify what they're doing to say it's okay. This is all that left-wing media stuff taking over from Hollywood, saying that it doesn't matter what you do, you can be saved, you can have a relationship with God, God doesn't care, all you have to do is give me money and you'll be blessed. I mean, that's what these guys are. In fact, Candace Cameron Bure, who does a lot of stuff on Hallmark, this is another article from the Christian Journal, she admits that she's faced extensive discrimination for her Christian faith in Hollywood. However, now, because of all her Hallmark experience and exposure that she's been having, people realize in Hollywood, because they have an atavistic hatred, remember, a deep-seated 2,000-year generational hatred towards Christianity, because the hardcore left-wing Jews, who basically are the communists, run Hollywood. Not the Jews in general, but the left-wing Jews. And now she's basically saying that she doesn't experience as much now because that many people know her, that she's a Christian. And, of course, she's been basically stereotyped and put in these places where Christians can be used as far as from a marketing standpoint to pick up large market segments, especially over the holidays, in order to sell the products and the advertisers so that these guys can maintain more of a, how can I say this, a more of a monopoly over the airwaves, including taking money away from the Christians. And another article from Breitbart, Stanford University fraternity is told to take the American flag down from their fraternity house to improve their image. I mean, I'm not making it up, guys. Stanford University told the Sigma Chi fraternity to remove its American flag to improve its image. An administrator reportedly told the fraternity that the flag could be seen as intimidating, aggressive, and or alienating. Guys, this is where we're going to. This is where the communists want to take us. Because remember, when you have symbols like a flag, it goes into the right brain and it basically imprints itself into your memory. You can't forget it. That's why symbology is so important. That's why the logos are used with ABC, CBS, NBC, and all of the different logos that are used. They're used to do that perfect. And see what happens. Symbols have a frequency. So when you see them, they radiate this image, this frequency into your brain, which is indelibly burned into your synaptic function. They don't want to have the frequency of the flag anymore. That's why they have them kneel at the national anthem. That's why they have them kneel and intentionally to disgrace the flag and the veterans who fought and died for their, so they could do this. This is what the football players are doing, because, quite frankly, the football players are too stupid to realize any of this stuff, and they're going to do it because it's a political statement for these guys that are making millions of dollars a year about how they're not being treated properly because they're making million dollars a year. They're all a bunch of idiots. And see, this is what's going on with the flag at Stanford and all over the place. This is why they want to bring the Pledge of Allegiance out of the school systems. They don't want anybody to do any of this stuff anymore because, Austin, it promotes nationalism and allows us to have America as it once was, which is what Donald Trump ran on, which is not what Donald Trump is doing, but it's what he ran on. Because, guys, we've all had enough of the international banking cartels running and determining our future for us, and now Trump just signed over this entire trade deal with Mexico to bureaucrats and insiders that I guarantee you will be shoved in via the Rothschild banking cartels to take our rights away on who and what we're going to trade with, to bring in a North American union to lose the sovereignty of all three countries. That's the goal here, Austin. What do you think?
Absolutely. Well, that's where it's headed, because, you know, they can't do all this at one time. It's too difficult, and there'd be too much uprising. I mean, as we saw just right now in France, I mean, they start adding added gasoline tax. All of a sudden, there's just been revolting the last 2-3 weeks. They know they're not going to be able to do this, especially with as aggressive and as well-armed as the United States population still is. So they have to continue to slowly chip away our rights one by one right under the surface so we barely understand what's going on. And we got the Comrex running again. A little issue with it. I restarted it. I have a first caller here. Just let you guys know, again, call in live line. We're about to take calls for a few minutes. 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. Talk to Ted and Austin on Tuesday. Karen from New Jersey. Karen, you are on the air live with the Ted and Austin Brower Show. How are you doing today?
Hey, Ted and Austin. It's Karen. I was on your show once. Anyway, I wanted to say a few things to encourage you. I wanted to thank you for the bold stance that you always take and proclaim the truth behind the headlines. I want to thank you for all the time you do spending on research and digging, and for the biblical view you give us with the news through a biblical lens, which not many shows do. In fact, there's none that I know of. You don't compromise. You're bold for Jesus. But most of all, I want to thank you guys because you treat your audience with respect. A lot of the talk shows, the other alternative shows, they get righteous anger, but they seem to get angry with their audience. And you guys never talk down to us. You're with us. It's like we're all on the same team. And that's why I keep listening, and I love you so much, besides how your Christian worldview through the news is so unique. So I just want to thank you, encourage you, and keep on going.
Oh, man, Karen, thanks so much. I really needed that today. I appreciate the encouragement. Thank you, Karen. And, yeah, you know,
okay,
and Karen gets my emails all the time, Austin. In fact, I'm in constant contact with Karen. I mean, we basically email each other every day. And so she knows how much research that we put out and how much stuff that we do. And she sends me a lot of the stuff that we use also. She's brilliant. And so, guys, here's the thing. When she says that, she knows it's real. You know, whenever I get on a tear and I'm running around, you know, with my microphone, walking, jumping up and down, breathing heavy, it ain't a show. It's real. Now, I can't do that all the time because it just takes so much energy for me at the age of 63. And plus, quite frankly, I can't get through a lot of the news when you guys get to hear me go into our 20-minute rant. And a lot of you guys go, well, we love it when you go into your 20-minute rants. Well, I enjoy it, too, especially if I'm under the anointing. But, guys, here's the thing. We all have to be on the same page. And that's why I'm so careful with the stuff that I say to make sure, and I try to document, especially with all the new listeners that we're getting, Austin. Because, guys, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening, because Karen's right. And Frank is right. All the people have called up are right. I mean, we try to treat all of you guys the same way because I want you guys to know you're family to me. And whether you're here on the radio with me in our office visiting us in Auburndale or invited to my home here in Central Florida, regardless, I'm going to treat you the exact same way. I am not one of these fluffy guys that say all this stuff on the air and you meet me here and I'm all weird, not the same person. Those are the TV evangelists, by the way, most 90% of them. They're a bunch of weirdos when you get to meet them. They're like really strange people. So I'm not that way. I remember one time, Austin, I had a friend of mine who I knew, you know, way back when in the 80s, and then I became super successful with the seminar circuits and all that, with the speaking with the presidents and all that. And he told me, he goes, man, Ted, you're the only person I've ever seen that had this kind of success that hasn't changed. He says, you're exactly the way you were, if not better than you were when I met you back in the 80s, and you still treat everybody with respect. And guys, the reason for that is I was raised by an immigrant mom from Germany. I was taught that everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time, and we've all got to work. And I mean, I was taught, my Austin knew his mama. He knew her well. And I mean, I was out there digging sewage line ditches and all the stuff that I was a kid, reshingling cottages, roofing cottages, painting cottages, digging out ditches, killing water moccasins. I mean, on and on and on and on. That was my life. And I tell you what, guys. And I decided that God had more of a purpose for me than that. Spent a long time in school by the grace of God and my dad. And guys, I want to thank you all for being part of our show because to me, you are family. I love you guys. And thanks for that wonderful call, Karen. Got any more calls, Austin? What's next?
Well, absolutely. And just, you know, to add on top of that as well, I mean, that's why we do what we do, because we're trying to, I mean, we're right here with you guys and all this. I mean, this is the thing about it is we're not better than anybody else. We're just here on the front lines trying to proclaim the truth and wake as many people up as possible. And I mean, that's why we do what we do right now, because we have to continue to spread the truth. Because if we all just start staying silent and done what a lot of people have done, including myself, even when I was younger, before I really knew what was going on, you just kind of have this ignorant bliss. You're like, oh yeah, whatever, well that may be going on, but I don't know, it doesn't really affect me right now. So a lot of people get that mindset, doesn't really affect me right this second, so I don't really care. And you know, you can have that nonchalant ideology occasionally, and it's not really going to hurt you some, but occasionally when it starts getting to the point, especially like it is now, when we're in this fight for basically our freedom, which is exactly what it is. I mean, we're in a full-blown fight for freedom. We don't have that luxury anymore just to sit back and be like, my kids will handle this. Not a big deal. We'll kick the can down the road. And I've heard some people say that in the past, you know, and they're like, oh, Agenda 2030 with the United Nations. That's 15 years away. You know, back when I talked to him a couple years ago, that's not a big deal. I'm like, dude, I'm going to be like 42 when that happens. I'm not going to be old and feeble. I'm still going to be quite young. That's right around the corner. I mean, I know 20 to 30 went by real fast. I know 30 to 40 is going to go by even faster for me. So, I mean, that's the thing that we all have to understand about it is we can't sit back and get complacent anymore because we don't have that luxury. Once the inception of the internet really hit in the late 90s, early 2000s, and that really blew up, we crossed a threshold because we have this double-edged sword of something that we can get all types of information out globally in a second. I mean, that's why this show's, you know, internet-based. I mean, all the stuff we do, websites, internet-based, everything goes out via the internet. But at the same time, they've been able to use it with propaganda and fake news and rhetoric to try to push their agenda as well. So it goes both ways. But now we have the ability to spread the truth and spread the news so much more efficiently than we ever have before because of what we have. So we have to use this tool, and we have to use it to our advantage to try to wake people up as much as possible. I mean, I saw this today, and it blew my mind, the fact that this is still going on, and the fact that nobody's really talking about this in mainstream media at all. I intentionally plugged in this article from Russia Today and a couple other news agencies to see if I could find this on Google, on any mainstream news media outlet. None. And it's about basically Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, the royal family being drug into the pedophile scandal with Epstein now in Florida, the trial that just started place. Nobody's talking about this on mainstream media. I mean, hardly anybody talk about it in alternative media. And you can't find like hardly any of it on Google. And they said the royal family is being drugged back into the Jeffrey Epstein pedophile scandal as a photo of the Queen's son, Prince Andrew, with an alleged underage prostitute is listed in an exhibit in the new U.S. court case. One of the witnesses who's being called to the stand in Palm Beach County Court is Virginia Roberts, who says and is able to prove that she was forced to have sex with Epstein and she was loaned out to perform sexual acts on his friends. Roberts alleges that those friends include Prince Andrew, Duke of York. The photograph shows Prince with his arms around Roberts' waist. It was taken at a London residence in March 2001 at the time when Roberts would have just turned 17 years old. The Buckingham Palace said, absolutely, they have no idea, it doesn't mean anything, blah, blah, blah. You guys got to remember, Epstein was jailed for 13 months, that was it, in 2008, for soliciting underage girls into prostitution. Think about that for a second. He got caught and convicted of soliciting girls that were underage into prostitution, and he got 13 months in jail. 13 months. There are people that I have known of that have literally gone to jail for 2 and 3 years in the federal penitentiary because they had possession of a plant in their pocket when a cop pulled them over and he deemed it to be illegal. Think about that for a second. And what's crazy, even on top of that, then serving as the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida, Alexandra Acosta negotiated a plea agreement for Epstein, sealing the 53-page FBI indictment against him and avoiding any federal criminal charges being brought against him and dropping his sentence to 13 months, just enough to make it a felony. Because under 12 months is not classified as a felony. So 365 days plus one day, it constitutes a felony in the state of Florida, and they made sure they got him that, but it was basically a slap on the wrist. Now, that U.S. Attorney for Southern District of Florida, Alexandra Acosta, the one who negotiated the plea deal, got everything almost dropped for Epstein and his underage trafficking of girls into prostitution. Oh yeah, by the way, Acosta is now Trump's Secretary of Labor. Anybody didn't realize that yet. So the thing about this now that we're seeing is that these guys are starting to be brought out into the limelight. And as you guys know, there have been numerous people on the flight logs of Epstein's private jet that flew down to his private island, all those being Kevin Spacey and basically Bill Clinton. And the interesting thing about this is, yeah, I mean, so these are things that people need to address and understand, that we're not dealing with a legitimate government anymore. The fact that these people can be bought and paid for and basically released and have these charges completely dropped and nothing significantly happens to them at all shows you what type of corruption we're at, but it shows us that we have to be vocal now more than ever to voice our opinions and our truth on the constitutional law and the fact that these people have to be held accountable, Dad.
You know, here's another article. This is from the Miami Herald, no less. It says, Jeffrey Epstein appeared in his sentencing dressed comfortably in a blue blazer, blue shirt. his attorney Jack Goldberger was to decide. At the end of a 60, at the end of the 68-minute hearing, 68 minutes, unbelievable.
Yeah.
The 55-year-old silver-haired financier accused of sexually abusing dozens of underage girls was fingerprinted and handcuffed, just like any other criminal sentenced in Florida. But inmate number W35755 would not be treated like a convicted sex offender in the state of Florida. 10 years before the Me Too movement raised awareness about the kid glove handling of powerful men accused of sexual abuse, Epstein's lenient sentence and his extraordinary treatment while in custody are still the source of anger from the victims, because they were all 12, 13, 14-year-old children. Beginning as back as far as 2001, Epstein lured a steady stream of underage girls to his Palm Beach mansion, where I'm going to say something, my opinion, he videotaped multiple men, including there and in New York City at his mansion, in underage sex with these young girls, and a lot of these guys were in the political arena with him. Probably a lot of them in the Palm Beach area, a lot of them in New York, a lot of congressmen and senators. This is what one of our guests said on the show one time. This is what Robert David Steele said. Okay? See, then they engaged in all of them. I'm not going to read what they engaged in. The girls, mostly from disadvantaged, troubled families, were recruited from middle and high schools around Palm Beach County. Epstein would pay the girls for these massages, okay? And then the girls now, they're late 20s and 30s, they're ticked off. And they're basically in a series of federal civil lawsuits over the past decade that he's sexually abused, sold to prostitution, hundreds of girls, not only in Palm Beach, but here again, in his homes in Manhattan. It's exactly what Robert David Steele said. Now, listen to this. In 2007, the FBI prepared a 53-page federal indictment against Epstein, but of course, all of that's been sealed. Epstein instead pleaded guilty to lesser charges. But listen to what happened to him when he went to jail. But Epstein, who had a long list of powerful, politically connected, and compromised morally friends, didn't go to state prison like other sex offenders in Florida. Instead, he was assigned to a private wing of the Palm Beach County stockade, where he was able to hire his own security detail to protect him. Even then, he didn't spend much time in the cell. He was allowed to go to his downtown West Palm Beach office for work release 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Can you believe this, guys? He was permitted to hire his own psychologist for his required sex offender counseling. And after his release from jail, his subsequent year of probation under house arrest was filled with trips on his corporate jet to Manhattan and to his home in the Virgin Islands, which, by the way, has now been burned. All approved by the courts with no objections from the state. Well, yet all of these young girls were brutally sodomized, raped, and done horrible things to them because he was selling them out into prostitution. Guys, this is nuts. Some of his victims will finally have an opportunity to testify for the first time. It is part of the December 4th case in the state court in Palm Beach County, which is bound there, this is bound there next to Broward, so it's pretty corrupt. It pits Fort Lauderdale attorney Bradley Edwards against Epstein, who has accused Edwards of malfeasance in his presentations of several victims. Guys, finally this mess is coming out. You know, here's the thing. You get these young girls from disadvantaged families. They're 12, 13, 14 years old. And you tell them you're going to give them $1,000 or $500 or whatever. And if all they got to do is come to your apartment or your house, and if they're good and they were good enough to these guys, you'll bring them back and you'll help their parents and get them money for college and all this other crap that they tell these young girls. And they do that. And these young girls then are put on private jets. They're whisked away to Pedophile Island, of which, by the way, the evidence has been burned out there in these areas because I guess they didn't want any material or evidence that could be corroborated or DNA testing evidence. I mean, all of this stuff is what Epstein was in. Now, remember, Bill Clinton went out to Lolita Island, which is what they called it, dozens of times, and old Donald Trump was also on the manifest to Lolita Island and was good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Guys, this sick circle of pedophilia, of Satanism, of human sacrifice, of sexual pleasures and manipulation and videotaping and bribery and blackmail is systemic through our entire local, federal, state governments. It's systemic. And quite frankly, guys, it's a mess, because a lot of these guys, when they start coming and start testifying against these people, they're suicided.
Yep.
Okay, well, what does that mean, Ted? Well, the government decides that they know too much. You know, before they ever put Hillary Clinton on a stand and basically had her tell the truth of what she's been involved in, she would kill herself. They'd suicide her. But she knows so much stuff, and she's got so many dead man switches, which means all this information that she knows has been kept on a hard drive somewhere in multiple locations, and it all be turned out to the, open to the public if something happened to her. I guarantee you she's too smart not to have dead man switches. That's why she's able to go walk around, do what she wants to do. That's why when you hear the people at these Trump rallies, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And the first thing Trump says is the first day he basically becomes in the office, we're not going to prosecute Hillary Clinton. She's been through enough. Well, no, why? They don't want to lock her up. She knows where the bodies are buried. She's buried a bunch of them.
They're good
these
people.
These people are complete. That's right. And these people, Austin, have basically been in control of our government, control of our country. These banking interests have run it all since the days of Andrew Jackson. And he basically said that they're a bunch of evil vipers. He's going to rout them out, and he did. He threw out the Bank of America, got rid of Biddle, and basically went back to, you know, a non-currency that they didn't have to bother about borrowing. And guys, this is the same group of Sabbatean, Luciferian, Kabbalist, Synagogue of Satan people that have been doing this for thousands of years, who have the atavistic hatred of Christians in Hollywood. This is that same group of people. They control it all because they control the money systems. And until, and I said this on the show years ago, Austin, until we get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, and we have legitimate currency put back into the United States again, we're never going to be a free republic again. We're never going to have the abilities to walk freely and go unmolested on our way. But little, these communists, little by little, these hardcore Sabbatean, remember, the Kabbalah is the root of communism of Karl Marx. Always remember that. It's where all stuff came from. And until we learn that we're not going to be part of that and allow this doctrine of devils to dictate our life in our country, it's never going to change, son. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right, and that's why they're so bent on trying to remove the ability for us to defend our families and our freedoms with the Second Amendment right. And thanks to all of our listeners and all of our friends and all the other patriots in the United States now, we've made a pretty big example of Dick's Sporting Goods now. I saw an article of it again today. You guys remember back in February, they basically said they were no longer going to sell semi-automatic rifles or regular capacity magazines, in my opinion. They also said that they were going to raise the purchase age for long guns all across the board in the United States. And then, as we know, their sales slowly started to plummet. They even said they were destroying all semi-automatic rifles instead of sending them back. And they made it clear they were destroying all unsold high-capacity magazines. And we found out in August their sales dipped again. Now, the sales quarter has passed for the final part of the year, and Dick's is continuing to hurt more than ever. The Examiner added, the revenue has dipped almost 5% this year, this quarter, to $1.86 billion amid challenges in the company's hunting business during the quarter through November 3rd. Sales at stores that have been open at least 12 months, which is a key metric for retail industry, fell almost 7% compared to the prior year. And then the company is now planning to raise prices in 2019. As it says, the higher prices are due to expenses incurred via Trump's tariffs on products made in China. So that's always the best thing to do, right? You own a company, your sales start plummeting. Well, let's raise all the prices on everything so we can actually show that our sales are going up. But in reality, that's one of the stupidest things you can do, because all you really do is cannibalize your own sales. But again, this is what happens when you have a national company that goes against the American population that's based on sporting. That was the stupidest thing about it. It would be one thing if Starbucks was like, oh, yeah, we're not going to have posters on our wall that depict the Second Amendment. Dude, 99% of people that shop at Starbucks, in my opinion, have no idea about the Second Amendment. And if you do have an idea about the Second Amendment, you shop at Starbucks, I'm not cool with that at all, be honest with you. I mean, you really need to research their background and everything they support and every single anti-Christian belief that they hold. But when you have Dick's Sporting Goods that's all about selling guns, selling hunting equipment, selling target shooting equipment, and they come out and say, hey, we're going to stop selling these weapons, not because there's a legitimate purpose behind them, not because we can figure out some way to stop somebody from dying by selling guns, but just because they're big and scary and it's the principle of the matter. That's the aspect of what they did, is completely grenaded their sales down. They've continued to dip all year long, and I hope America's resolve and our patriots' resolve is strong enough we continue to force their sales down lower and lower and lower, and show them what happens when we have a company that blatantly goes against the Second Amendment rights of the United States population, Deb.
Absolutely. By the way, another girl's been murdered in an asylum compound in Europe and Germany. After the girl's appearance, at least a disappearance, at least 150 police and firefighters searched for her, and they found her dead. She was found dead at 8 p.m. on Sunday. In such terms has been following clues of passerbys. They're taking in forensics before they release the whole thing. And it says that we are shaken. The whole region is paralyzed. It's quite dramatic when parents have to bury their child. An act of violence is caused. It's particularly terrible, guys. Angela Merkel is covered in blood, metaphorically. She's the one who did this. She is blood-soaked Jezebel, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Guys, I just don't even know what to say. These poor people in Germany who didn't want this, who's had this forced upon them, like we've had it forced upon us. Guys, I love you and I appreciate you. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for the call today, Karen. You guys are absolutely awesome. We got to pray for you again this morning. And yes, we will continue doing this show the way we do it, and we will continue being real to every one of you guys. I love you. Thank you for getting your vitamins from us, your supplements from us. I appreciate you guys so very, very much. You guys are the best. And I'll do the write-up, Austin. God bless you. Go ahead and close, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Well, absolutely, guys, and we really appreciate all the support you guys have continued to give us. And another aspect we're working on right now, we've had a lot of people request it, a lot of customers want it, so I think it looks like we are going to start carrying and manufacturing our own organic hemp CBD oil. There's been a lot of controversy around that over the last couple of years, but pretty much from the research that I have found, the Fed's never going to be able to schedule CBD oil because of the really, 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 really good health properties from it. And so we're going to be coming out with a really strong formula. As you guys know, everything we build is strong, and we're going to be adding a couple little nutrients to it to actually aid in the absorption, the bioavailability of it. As you guys know, when you're taking straight oil, it's something that's based in oil. A lot of times it's sometimes a little bit more difficult to assimilate, especially when it's in your stomach, unless you have food with it. So we got something we're working on right now. We should have it out in about a month, month and a half, but I just wanted to give you guys kind of a heads up on that we're going to roll into that at the beginning of the next year. We've tried multiple different ones, multiple different formulas, trying to figure out what works the best, and we've definitely seen some positive results here locally with the family and friends that we've tried it with. I know people have talked about it for years. The only issue I had with it from the beginning is I wanted to see what was going to happen with sessions and trying to schedulize everything known to man that grows out of the ground, which is pretty much what these tyrannical idiots did up in Washington. But it seems to be, though, that now nobody's really going to go for CBD because there's no legitimate way to schedule something that has no negative effect whatsoever. So I just want to give you guys a heads up on that. Keep a lookout for it. We'll keep you informed as we get closer and closer and closer. Be sure the probiotic 350 billion is the product of the week winner from last week. It will be changing tomorrow morning. So be sure if you wanted to get a can of that, you get it tonight. It's on sale for over 15% off. And also too, be sure to vote for the product that you want to see win tomorrow. It looks like the adrenal support is pulling pretty strong, and also to the Muscle Blast, which is one of my personal favorites that we carry, which I drink throughout my entire workouts, our branched chain amino acid formula. That one is pretty high too on the voting scale. So be sure to get on the website, vote for it, let us know what you want to win. We thank you guys. We appreciate you. We love being real with you. Thank you for putting up with our non-political correctness. You guys have an awesome night. We love you. Be safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always. We'll